7.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we go inside the Beltway and New York, as it were, with the true insiders from Talk Radio News, covering the United Nations for TRN, Luke Vargas. Luke, first time on the show. Thanks for hopping on ATN.
Of course. Good to talk to you.
So Chuck Hagel is confirmed. You know, there's a few bumps along the way, but he's confirmed. And from a world point of view, Chuck Hagel is going to get his dancing shoes on in a sense. He's not Secretary of State, but he's the Defense Secretary. So he's going to be motoring around, worried about some of the hot spots, certainly cleaning up the tail end of Afghanistan and some other things as well. Do you think he has inherited a tougher job? Or, I mean, is this just a smooth transition and we're dealing with the same world issues we've been dealing with?
Well, they're the same world issues, but it just so happens that they're all flaring up around the time that he's getting thrown into the fire. So he's inheriting a uniquely difficult situation, as I see it. There's a lot of fronts open in world politics at the moment that are all pretty thorny in and of themselves.
Yeah, no kidding. None thornier than what happens between Israel and what goes on with the Gaza Strip. So a rocket was fired from Gaza into Israel. What can you tell us about that?
Well, this breaks a truce that was agreed to after the latest sort of a round of skirmishes between Israel and the Palestinian territories in November of last year. Now it's nighttime in Israel now, so we don't know if, you know, exactly how Israel is going to respond to this. They could, renew a military engagement with the West Bank, essentially picking up the sort of strategic strikes they had been doing last year. But that, in turn, could prompt more rockets to come over. So as far as we know it now, one rocket came over, and Fatah, the Mahmoud Abbas-affiliated group in Palestine, took responsibility. But as it stands now, and as has been the case with most Israeli security operations, they act first, and then we, be it the U.S. government often, or especially the United Nations, will find out a few hours later. So we don't know how things stand until the morning.
Yeah, and the United Nations, of course, as we know, certainly in certain circumstances, if we go back in the history of what's going on with the Gaza Strip, you know, the peacekeepers have been very prevalent there, haven't they?
They're prevalent, but in January, or maybe it was very early February of this month, we saw the attack, the unilateral airstrike by the Israelis on targets within Syria. Now, the United Nations maintains peacekeepers in the Golan Heights area of northern Israel on the border with Syria. And tons of civilians told news agencies that they heard these Israeli jets flying over in the middle of the night. And then during, inquiry from journalists and others in the following days, the United Nations peacekeepers, who should have heard about this and been able to confirm or deny whether this strike happened, said they didn't hear or see anything. So we've got a lot of people there on the ground, at least the UN does, but they don't seem to be able to really figure out what's going on. So maybe it doesn't mean very much.
All right, so we move from that, because we'll just take that wait-and-see attitude, as we always do when we're talking about Gaza and Israel. But in Italy, you have some long faces, and we saw the stock market, the U.S. stock market, tank the other day, because we're talking about austerity. We're talking about what the future monetary positions, obviously, are in Europe in general. This is still out there. This is scary stuff happening, isn't it?
Right. So to run down what happened in Italy pretty briefly, we've had a technocrat in power for about 16 months now, and he's been ramming through some pretty tough austerity measures. They're not the same kind of austerity we're used to seeing here, where it's budget cuts budget cuts, basically. They've been really raising taxes quite intensely. So we had a tremendous amount of pushback against that in the election this weekend, with Mario Monti, who's a technocrat, getting only 10% of the vote, and the rest of the vote was split between candidates who were distinctly anti-austerity. And there is, sort of fear among economists and, you know, people who like to impose austerity from afar, that this is going to spark an anti-austerity push across Europe. And, it's unfortunate only because now the world community doesn't really know who to go to as a leader in Italy, because there is no clear winner here. So we have the prospect of another round of elections in a few months to try to sort this out. But certainly economic instability is on the increase in Europe after this vote in Italy.
All right, Luke Vargas covering the UN for TRN. Thanks for joining us here on ATM. We'll talk to you again.
Have a great night. Thanks.
Thanks, you too. So we move from the UN world issues to noise pollution coming up in this hour of America tonight and the 20th anniversary of the 93 World Trade Center bombing. How far have we come in our fight to thwart terrorism? Do you feel that much safer since 93 when the World Trade Center got their first surprise? And remember, that was a bomb that was driven underneath the World Trade Center in a parked truck that ultimately went off, and too many people were injured and killed as a result of that. It's interesting because I talked to a man after 9/11 who was there for 93, and he said once the plane had flown into the first building and he was in the second, they were telling him in the brokerage house where he worked to just stay. Everybody stay, be calm, they're handling it. And he's like, nobody's handling anything. And he made a beeline for the exits right away and was gone and was out of the building and was walking across the Brooklyn Bridge by the time the second plane had hit, because he learned the lesson from 93. He wasn't going to wait for help. He saw how devastating it could be, and he automatically said it went off in him, boom, this is another form of an attack. So all the efforts to cooperate between the agencies, from the CIA to the FBI to locals on the ground and what they see, Homeland Security, is there enough sharing going on? And are we stopping? Do we have a bigger net now on what could be plots, things that are starting to form in the United States with the homegrown terrorists or the sleeper cells or somebody trying to come in across our borders? Of course, there's lots of other ways to try to get at the United States. But it was pretty shocking if you remember where you were in 93 when the World Trade Center bombing, the first one, happened. And what lessons did we learn from that, and have we come that much farther along? Speaking of lessons learned, doesn't seem like there's much going on in Washington with the clock ticking away on the sequester. Obama's out on the road talking about the looming spending cuts. A lot of people are getting nervous about their jobs because it's starting to trickle down. Who's going to lose a job here and who's going to lose a job there? And now what's happening is the Department of Homeland Security is releasing thousands of illegal immigrants because of the cuts. They're saying, hey, we don't have enough guards. We can't do this cat and mouse game the way we were doing it before, because we got problems with these detainees. And in anticipation of automatic budget cuts, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to release people. So we're releasing them, meaning the ICE guys. There's not enough of them. They're going to release about 10,000, I guess, all together in one county in Arizona. It's 500, but all across the board, give or take, they're saying about 10,000, actually. 10,000 if I were to go across the entire border. That's the estimate anyway. I mean, who knows? It's unclear. But regardless, because ICE has to make cuts, they're saying they can't worry about all these detainees. That's a place where they're going to have to let people go. Wow. Shocking, huh? How come we didn't hear this noise before when they were talking about the automatic sequester, the automatic cuts? Hang with us on the flip side. More on the 93 WTC. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe's financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free, a 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply, be in control, be self-sufficient, and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
So do you remember the huge bomb that exploded in the garage below New York's World Trade Center, killing 5 people? And, of course, pandemonium ensued as people were injured and crawling all over to get down and out of the building. That truck bomb, they were really trying to topple one of the towers, and that didn't happen. And it brought up the question of who is the man, Ramzi Youssef? Remember the conversation about him? His name was everywhere. Now, this is pre-Bin Laden, not that Bin Laden's name wasn't out there, but we were playing nice with Bin Laden. So Ramzi Youssef was the guy. And if the attack that happened on February 26, 1993, had really accomplished its goal, it would have brought down the one of the Twin Towers in really a cloud of cyanide gas. If it had gone as planned, tens of thousands of people would have died. Instead, one tower didn't fall on the other, because really that was kind of the plan, to have one fall on the other, and then the vaporizing of the cyanide gas that would burn up in the heat of the explosion. Only 6 people actually died. It was 6. And what was ultimately the ambition behind this attempt? It was incredible how big they wanted this to be. And some people, I don't know if they realize that or not, the key person responsible for it is a guy who had come into the United States on an Iraqi passport, and it was Ramzi Youssef, who was involved in another bombing conspiracy that had taken, that was also afterwards, that had taken place in 95, where they tried to blow up 11 planes in one day of terrorist, complete rage, chaos, whatever. And in that case, the bombs were made of liquid explosive so that it would pass through airport metal detectors, but while mixing the chemicals, in an apartment, and this was an apartment, by the way, in Manila. He started a fire, so he had to leave. He left behind a computer that had information that led to his arrest eventually in Pakistan, and then the things were found on him, a letter threatening the Philippines, the Filipino interest, I guess is a better way to say it, if somebody that was held in prison wasn't released, and then talked about the idea of the chemicals and the poisonous gas and where they were going to use it and that whole kind of thing. So, and, you know, that was Ramzi Youssef's plots, at least some of them anyway. So, you know, what's the scoop? Everybody wanted to have a portrait of him as his name was just being volleyed about. You know, was he a lone wolf? Was he a terrorist whip? Did he have a lot of friends? Was he loosely connected to other Muslim groups, and who are his friends and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, a lot of people felt in the end, especially with the passport game, that he was an Iraqi intelligence agent building up his network and his net worth. Suffice to say, we definitely, unfortunately, know what it's like to encounter something that that he was working on, and it was actually hitting the tower. So he didn't pull the tower down, but killed people and really shook up New York and a landmark, and proved to be somebody that had to be caught sooner rather than later. And it didn't happen right away. It took, and I just explained how they connected the dots. And, you know, it's interesting because when he was arrested, almost 2 years to the date, give or take, in 95, there wasn't a lot of information that was passed on. Remember that whole idea that happened later after 9/11 of sharing? So this was one of the big snafus. Nothing was shared about Youssef, not very much. The FBI didn't answer many questions, didn't pass much on to the State Department, and that whole circle folks that should have been informed weren't informed, so that key info with other national security agencies didn't happen. And, you know, that's where what I wonder, because there's a thing about protecting your turf, and I believe that there is more sharing going on. We know we've had people on who have told us about things that they can't really tell us everything about, and then we've talked about things that are out there after the fact. Here's what happened, here's what could have happened, and thanks to the quick thinking of this one agency that was helped by another agency. So there has to be some of that going on. But I wonder how much. You know, it's a huge problem in Washington with the whole net of here's the people we're looking at, here's the people, you know, person of interest, here's the group they're connected to. It's that whole examining of records of somebody with the keen eye, with the detective sense to be able to pick something out that's extraordinary, pluck it out of the ordinary, and then put it into the intelligence system and plug it in the right way to try to stop another 9/11 or another 93 World Trade Center bombing, the first one itself that was that could have been much worse than it was, but still was it was like a warning sign. It was a warning sign that nobody really caught on to, that, yeah, you know what, we're here and we can get to you. You're not thinking about your planes, but we are, and we might have to wait, and that's the key. They're willing to wait, to get the big payoff. So I think what we learned if we went back in 93 is there should have been more, still should have been more sharing of info between the agencies, and if it had started then, I don't know, would we have been able to stop 9/11 from happening? It doesn't do much good to go back in the past and try to rework it, but perhaps it could have happened because people who had information, the one FBI agent, the woman who had the information about, hey, there's people taking flying lessons who aren't learning to land, they don't want to know how to land, they're plunking down money on it, seems suspicious, maybe that would have been shared. And it would have spread through the network and something could have happened. But there's no way to know that for sure. I mean, I just know from descriptions of people I worked with in New York who were there for the first time around they said, you know, fire trucks were rushing to the scene. Fire alarms were going up all over the place. Nobody had any idea that a terrorist with a truck bomb had blown a crater underneath the World Trade Center that was, you know, actually described as the size of the Meadowlands, or even that six people had died from that. Although, you know, there were so many others that got out that looked like they were hit. And the worst place to be, was listening to somebody remembering what it was like to be in the building, the worst place to be would be, you know, in a disaster would be an elevator. I saw something in, I was watching New York News the other day, and somebody was talking about the fact that they had just trucked to the elevator. They were thinking, I gotta get to the elevator. And on September 11th, people were trying to do the same thing, and of course, ultimately, at least 200 people or so were killed because they were thinking, get into the elevator, and of course, you know, the rest is history, sadly, there. You know, ultimately, when we look at 93 and we go back and look at the tragedies and learning something from the attack, could have been maybe worse if people weren't cooperating. The good thing is that people were. It was scary. Tens of thousands had to walk down, still even then, dark steps. It was so dark. And they did it. They did it. So they try to help each other. And here we are. These many years later, and ultimately then what happened again, bringing the towers down, it's just too bad that more wasn't shared. So I think in some ways, in talking to people connected at the Pentagon and talking to people that we've had on the show, like Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, as much as I can beat up so many things that are so wrong with Homeland Security and the way we go about trying to find people and culling the information, from what I know from sources, it's still 100 times better. It's just too bad that this didn't happen a lot sooner, because I think it would have been a big difference maker in you know, a 9/11. Still don't know that. I talked about the illegal immigrants being released because of budget cuts. That's just kind of the tip of the iceberg. I'm going to fill you in on some more details. Stay with us.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- 877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388. Or go to FAKETV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Is there a less expensive way to detoxify your body? Yes. Microplant powder from hempusa.org frees your body of toxins from virus, fungus, bacteria, vaccinations, pharmaceutical residues, heavy metals, parasites, and toxic chemicals in your food and water for around $10 a month. And for persistent health issues, try our Matrix Bio Powder together with Microplant Powder for a deeper cellular cleaning. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Extendivite is a 7-herb heart protection cocktail designed to support cardiovascular health, blood pressure, and cholesterol levels. February is Heart Month, and we at Heart Drop 2000 are having our Heart Month sale with prices from 6 years ago. Starting now until February 28th. You can purchase a 4-month supply of either capsules or liquid for only $125, including shipping and handling. To help you, help yourself. So call now to take advantage of this one-time offer. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Make a move to the dungeon. So we're going to do that in a second here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. If you want to throw in your two cents, I don't know, from your perspective, do you feel like we're safer security-wise in this country if we go back to the first World Trade Center bombing of 93 and the things that were missed now ultimately these many years later and finally some sharing of information, maybe not quite enough because there is still a lot of protecting of turf. And, you know, there's a thing about taking that leap and getting over that to be able to just freely have the flow of information going between agencies. And the cultures are very different from the CIA to the FBI to Homeland Security to Border Patrol and down the line. There's great people that work for all those groups, but usually they're the underlings, so they're not on that. They're not on that same grid as the people right up above them. So if you want to throw in 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. The thing that's interesting about now this sequester is the doom and gloom. Now all the details are starting to come out, not just the big picture. Like, okay, we're going to cut out as much money as we possibly can over a 10-year period, and we're looking at that 85 mark for this year. How can we cut out enough to save enough money to start going down that road of getting money back so that we're not completely on credit, which is almost ridiculous to say because we're not going to do this anytime in the near future. But this is the deal. It costs the government about $164 a day to keep an illegal immigrant that's facing deportation in a holding cell. In a report on immigration detention, the cost last year showed, according to the advocacy group, that the cost for supervised release can go from 30 cents to about $14 a day. That's supervised release. It's that, you know, it's that cat and mouse game that we've talked about before. So now we're hearing about, okay, this Janet Napolitano popped a cork the other day and saying that the across-the-board cuts would say that you're going to wait in line and don't scream at my agents because you're going to have long lines at airports. It's going to impact you, and it's going to include border security, too. So we can't afford to keep 34,000 immigration jail beds that have been mandated by Congress. There are right now over 30,000 people being held in ICE jails. So here's something people didn't think about because of the looming budget cuts. We can't afford $164 times 34,000 or 30,000. So we're just going to have to let them go. That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to say, you know, release them. Sounds like you're releasing people into the wild. Just release them like the Hunger Games. But it's such an odd term. But anyway, they asked for almost $196 billion for immigration jail ops in the last budget. So that's over $5 million a day. $5 million a day. Now, the people who put the advocacy group that came up with some of the numbers is the National Immigration Forum. They do a report. So are you following me with the numbers? $164 a day to keep somebody in a jail facing deportation or supervised release, which is just catching someone, telling them to go back, that's it, boom, kind of that thing. Hey, you might want to think about going back over. So this is not good, right? Isn't the idea, didn't we hear that in the State of the Union address? Wasn't everybody talking about immigration reform has to include border security? We have to tighten security at the border. Oh, except for we're going to release all these people that, by the way, we have also been paying for. And what about the criminal offenders? What are they ranking them? Okay, are they not going to, how are the people going to be selected? Or what jails are they going to be released from? How are they going to figure all of that out? You know, case by case basis, they have hundreds of cases. They're not going to have time to go through that. So what's the most appropriate cost-effective form of supervised release? That means pretty much everyone goes unless they know it's a nasty SOB they have in their hands. So how do you feel about that if you're listening to us in Arizona or Texas or California or somewhere along the border? Because Democrat or Republican, everybody said border security. We must have border security, that we have to have secure borders. And as we talk about immigration reform and some kind of a path to citizenship, the number one thing is that has to happen. The president said it. That has to happen. The Democrats said it. The Republicans said it. And because of the doom and gloom hanging over Washington with the sequester, poof, that's going to go. That's what's going to go. I'm going to move from the immigration thing to something that has really bothered me from day one when I heard the story. I know that there are a ton of people listening. I know I have a lot of friends who are talk show hosts that love Julian Assange, that think that the sun rises and sets on this guy, the WikiLeaks guy. And it is interesting, no doubt, the information that he has gotten, that he has obtained through different methods, that is really rattle a lot of people's cages. But I think the one scapegoat is this Bradley Manning, who had, I think, is like a deer in the headlights, who had no idea what was going to happen to him. And we're going to put someone in the dungeon for this one. So prosecutors are trying Bradley Manning, who's 25 years old. He's the soldier who's accused of really pulling off the largest intelligence leak in U.S. history, this guy. And they're trying to prove that Al-Qaeda directly benefited from access to all the files that were being released because there was so much information that was in the files. And to me, when he released all the information to WikiLeaks, I don't think he really realized what was going to happen. I really don't. So we don't have all the, you know, how did he pick up the information, all that kind of stuff. We don't know all of that. We don't know where the connection was and everything that had happened there. But you've got this private first class Manning's court martial. And then you have this crazy connection to this witness who's only called John Doe. That's what he's being referred to. And he's the op who actually collected the evidence in Abbottabad and handed it to an FBI agent in Afghanistan. And that's how they figured out about the role of Manning and what had happened there. So there's all kinds of secrecy surrounding this testimony. And a lot of people feel like the testimony that's going to happen against Manning from this potential witness, John Doe, is a SEAL Team 6 guy who actually killed bin Laden 2 years ago. That's why this shroud of secrecy. So there are other witnesses who are going to describe how files were transported from bin Laden's compound back to the U.S. for analysis and and all that stuff. So overlapping the Manning case, if you will, because they're arguing that his information led to information that was deadly that was in the hands of Al-Qaeda. But his lawyer, Manning's lawyer, is arguing that the information from WikiLeaks is irrelevant. The only thing we want to know is whether this 25-year-old knew that the leaked info could be used by our enemies. That's it. But that's not what the other side of this case is about. That's not what the other side is about. So in my mind, Julian Assange, who is smug as all get out when he does his interview, I just recently saw one on a Bill Maher show, and WikiLeaks is great. There's no doubt there's people that have squirmed, like I said. But at the same time, I think this kid was so used and had no idea. And he's getting thrown to the wolves. He's not going to see daylight again. He's not going to see daylight again, or he's going to be pretty old when he sees daylight. So I think for that reason, even though Julian Assange is kind of in his own little exile because he's stuck, I'm going to say that he needs to do a little prison time to help out his buddy, Bradley Manning, who he says is a travesty that he's even being tried, court-martialed for anything whatsoever when he knew that was going to happen. If you know anything about the U.S. military, of course that's going to happen when you release all that State Department information. So for that, I think Julian Assange needs to sit in a cold, dark cell. Let him in, Matt.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yep, there you go. So that information certainly proved to be deadly for some, because remember, the other part of this is, we think deadly anyway, is that the parts that should have been redacted, like informants' names, that were people that were helping the U.S., their names were just left in what was leaked initially. And so, of course, that wasn't a good thing to be out there. And I think that's part of the anger of all the stuff that was released. But in the end, Manning is the one who gets squeezed in all of this. And I think he really has no clue what happened when the train hit him. Final turn next.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Injuries, slow healing, aches and pains, constipation, weakness, fatigue are all common the older one gets. The progressive deterioration of the body that occurs almost universally the older one gets can partly to significantly be prevented with conscientious attention to nutrition. If the Hanselmen can play rugby in their 90s, then it is possible for everyone in North America to experience a more youthful life as well. One key ingredient to warding off aging and reversing some of it is the type and quality of protein consumed. All protein foods or supplements you currently consume are heat damaged, destroying 50 to 75% of your ability to utilize the bodybuilding amino acids. One World Whey is not heat damaged and allows your body to utilize 100% of the amino acids. This feat no one else has achieved. The results to your health can be amazing. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Just like Danica Patrick. If you want to sing a song, in other words, throw in your 2 cents, you can. 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283, or shoot me an email at americatonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in. Just like that. So far we've talked about the anniversary of the 93 World Trade Center bombing, and if you put a timeline together, what have we learned since then? Is there really more sharing with the agencies? Are we safer than we were back then when we were completely caught off guard? And talking about the fact that, now we have this illegal immigration dump, basically, after all of the push and all the rhetoric about immigration reform, that you have Senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham, Republicans, pushing the president on the importance of border security, because they had a White House meeting on Tuesday and they were high-fiving the press. They were praising his commitment to doing something with the immigration laws. I mean, even afterwards, when reporters who run after anybody who goes into the White House that is a senator or congressperson anyway, they're like raw meat. The lions are ready to attack. Bombarding him with questions, asked McCain is he committed? What's going on? And McCain said, yeah, he's really committed to this. He wants to do this. He's not committed to everything we want to do or anything we want to do. He hasn't said that. But I think he really wants to have this immigration reform. So, hey, to get two people like McCain and Graham singing the song of Obama, at least on this little teensy-weensy thing, says they're all in bed together. But the problem is, during that Tuesday meeting, did they get the word that Janet Napolitano was making sure that everybody knew, hey, we got to release people, $164 a day, we got over 30,000 people who are in holding cells, yeah, we got to release them, we got to have a supervised release, that's all we can do, because we can't afford this. So as they're meeting, this other thing is coming out, just in case people didn't realize that. And I would say there would have to be some kind of damage control, because there's a big crack in this one. The fact that you have people, some of them criminals, and there's just no way you can go through. Nobody can tell me that. They cannot go through all those cases in a week. And you think you're going to pull the ones out that, oh, that guy's okay, he's just somebody that we constantly catch. There may be some familiarity in some of these places, but not all the way across the board. And imagine, and I hope this doesn't happen, but imagine if something awful happened because somebody was released. It certainly could. Now, news of the absurd. News of the absurd includes this thing that I happened to catch on, one of the mainstream news sources I was looking at. I want to say it was ABC, but they're talking about the fact that the Montana House of Representatives, are you ready for this? They're really thinking of legalizing, I can barely get out of my mouth, they're really thinking of legalizing roadkill, the ability to eat roadkill. So, in other words, it's kind of like you eat what you kill, even if it's with your car. So when they're saying this, now, this is Montana, to be fair, and if it was where I lived, it'd be, what would I be eating if we ate roadkill? Squirrels, armadillos occasionally, possums, the lone wolf once in a while. But in Montana, as you know, lots of animals, like elk and moose and deer and antelope and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So a state trooper who or a state representative says that state troopers, because he is one during the day, says that he sees a lot of animals that are slammed into on the roads in Montana. And why not repurpose it? Why not provide meat for people who need it? Why not make it available? Let the food banks have the road kill. And, you know, you could look at what the species were, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, and decide what it is. You know, so not squirrel, even though some people eat squirrel, decide whether or not that's something that you can, that you could take off the road, the carcasses, and it could help somebody survive. They say in Montana that the amount of carcasses that were collected from the side of the road, 7,000. I don't know. Be honest. I'm just being serious about this. Would you eat roadkill? Would you eat what you ran over? I'm just going to say, I think I can't. I couldn't do it. I'm a meat person. I like venison, whatever. But the idea of the roadkill, I don't know. However, if you're talking about people who have nothing and you're saying, well, here's meat. This is meat they can live on. And you think of, you know, what happens? I don't know. How long? What happens when a deer dies by being hit by a car? How safe is that? The condition, I mean, it's, you know, it's different than when you hunt it and you know how to clean the deer and all that other kind of stuff. I don't know, roadkill, would it be safe? The temperature, everything else, to actually eat it? Well, I would assume they would have to have, you know, thermometers, meat thermometers, that kind of stuff. And they'd have to, when you cook it, you'd have to be very careful with it. But isn't that interesting that roadkill actually could be on the menu. Real roadkill that you actually hit with your car. There's a possibility. So it sounds so absurd, doesn't it? Tell you, if they said that in New Jersey, where I'm from, they'd look at you like, what, are you kidding me? And roadkill could mean more than some of the things that we're talking about in some places like the Pine Barrens. So we could get into a whole other set of weird things happening when you say roadkill. Okay, absurd to me is the fact that, and I said that I've taken a balloon ride twice. They were short little hops, the balloon rides that I was on. But who would think that you've got, you're in this hot air balloon that is flying over Luxor in Egypt, and you're looking at the sights, and it's incredible what you're seeing, and they've done this so many times, and yet this time smoke comes billowing out of a hot air balloon. Sorry, your number's up. You're a sightseer. You're on a sunrise flight over this ancient city, and the balloon bursts in a flash of flame and then falls 1,000 feet to the earth. And people on the ground are watching. They can't do anything to help the people who are leaping out of the gondola right into the fire and into their deaths. So it's supposed to be safe. Nothing is 100%. A balloon ride, how could you ever say that it's 100%? But they've had hundreds and hundreds of flights, and they hadn't had this before. So you had tourists, which we talked about before on a previous show, from France and England and Belgium and Japan and Hong Kong that were on this, they were on this little flight. And the views are incredible, what you see with the temples and the burial grounds of Tutankhamun and some of the other pharaohs and all that kind of stuff, and it's early. But I guess what happened is a cable got caught around a helium tube, and then that's what caused the fire. As soon as they investigated it, they knew. So it detonated a gas canister, and the balloon just went crashing to the ground in a sugarcane field. But I think it makes you think twice about maybe the absurdity, in a way, of getting into a hot air balloon, flying over some amazing scenery below, and thinking, you know, it'll be okay. I'm seeing these canisters. I'm seeing what's going on with the flame, the up and down. Can't control all the conditions. I don't know. I might think twice about that. I'm just saying.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.